times in that field, but I'm glad to see what God's doing. It seems like every time I come, things are getting just gooder and gooder down here. And
Amen.
I like it. I like it. That's how church should be. Church should be interesting. Church
right.
shouldn't be stagnant.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
I wouldn't give you anything for a church that's just stagnant, staying the same all the time. But I like it when they're coming. Something's a little bit different. I remember I came in, the piano was different last time. And then yeah. I came in the next time, y'all got screens up. As long as y'all don't get fog machines and laser lights, we'll be all right. And I'm glad. I'm rejoicing. See, we're not in this fight against each other.
Right.
The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and this world. Everything that we fight against is not against each other. We
right.
fight against the devil.
Right. Amen.
And he's a heathen and deserves hell. And that's where
right.
he's going. Somebody say
amen. Amen.
We don't fight against each other in the church.
Right.
If I hear that Brother Scott's broke out in revival and y'all got 47 people join the church on a Sunday morning, I'm going to rejoice with them.
Amen.
If revival breaks out at Down East Baptist Church, I'm not mad about it.
Right.
I'm going to get in on it if
Amen.
I get a chance.
Amen.
See, because we're the family of God.
Right.
And I like it that way. Too many people spend most of their life fighting with people in church, and it's not worth it.
Amen. Yeah.
I just want to go to church, worship the Lord, and win somebody God. Somebody say
amen.
Amen. Amen. If you got your Bible, if you would stand for the reverence of reading the Word of God, I would invite you to turn anywhere that you would like. It's all good.
Amen.
But if you want to be where I'm going to be, he's going to put it on the screen. 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Look at me in verse number 9. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Man, Elijah's in a great, great place mentally, ain't he? Lord, I'm the only one left. God, they killed everyone else that wanted to serve you, and I'm the only one that made it out miraculously. I'm the only one that's serving you. Do you think God really believed Elijah?
No.
Look at me in verse 11. It says, and he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But look at this. But the Lord was not with him. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? If you underline in your Bible, I want you to underline that phrase. What doest thou here? In good old Eastern North Carolina language, it's, what are you doing here? All one word. What are you doing here? See, but I couldn't put that on the screen, so we had to make it all dignified because y'all got fancy screens. But what doest thou here? What doest thou here, Elijah? Our fathers, we come before you, Lord. We ask him for your help. God, I pray that you touch us tonight. Lord, clothe us in the cloak of our calling. Let us say everything that we should say. God, nothing that we shouldn't say. Lord, we give you honor and we give you glory. Lord, if we can give you some glory, help us to help you. And Lord, if we can't, God, I pray to stop us. Lord, let us say everything we should say. Lord, touch us, strengthen us. Lord, we pray for unction to function. God, use us in a mighty way. Lord, help us to help your people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. What doest thou here, Elijah? When we come to this chapter, we find a man by the name of Elijah. Everybody knows him. The prophet of Israel. The man of God. Elijah is finding himself in a very dark, depressed, and depraved state, hiding in a cave. He is fearing for his life because of a wicked woman Jezebel has promised to everyone that would listen that she will have Elijah's head on a platter. That she'll kill the man of God. She'll kill the one who is the prophet of Israel. And just as many of us would be, Elijah finds himself sitting under a juniper tree. And then after that, in a dark, depressing cave, begging for God to kill him. Now, I would say this is not Elijah's finest moment. But before we judge Elijah too quickly, before we begin to look down our dignified Pharisaical noses at Elijah saying, oh, I would not deny God. I would not question God. I would not hide from Jezebel. I would stand there boldly and proclaim what God wanted me to say. As much as we would love to say that, let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen, we would be in the cave with Elijah.
Yeah.
But before we begin to look down at Elijah, may I remind you, Elijah is still the prophet of God.
That's right.
Elijah is anointed by God. Elijah is a man of God. Elijah is sent by God to Israel to do what God has issued him to do.
Right.
And Elijah has seen some pretty incredible things in his ministry.
Right.
Elijah has seen some miraculous things in his ministry. Elijah has seen heavenly things in his ministry. But Elijah is still in a cave in 1 Kings chapter 19.
Right.
And God comes by and looks at Elijah and asks him a question. It's not rocket science. It's not mind-boggling. It's a very common question. But the place and the point in which it is coming from is not a common place.
Right.
God is asking him, Elijah, what doest thou here?
Yeah.
In other words, you should be somewhere else. I called you to serve somewhere else, but for some reason, you're here.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Come on, preacher.
And let me just say, God was not asking you a question to Elijah because he didn't know the answer. Come on now. God was not asking Elijah the question because he didn't know what Elijah was thinking.
Right.
He wasn't asking Elijah, why are you here? Because he had just mind-bogglingly missed where Elijah was going somehow in the day of the mishaps of, you know, holding the universe together.
Right.
Now, that's not what happened. God knew exactly why Elijah was there.
Yep.
And God knew exactly his reasoning for being there. And
Amen.
Let me just tell you this. We serve the omniscient God of heaven.
Amen.
Nothing sneaks up on him.
Right.
Nothing takes him by surprise.
Oh,
long before the foundation of the world ever began, God knew that the stock market was going to fall.
Right.
Long before everything happened, and long before COVID came around, and
Amen.
Long before everything that happened in our churches happened, God knew exactly
going
to happen.
That's right.
He knows all, he sees all, he hears all. He is the God of heaven.
That's
right. And your circumstances did not take him by surprise.
That's right.
Our God is not a God that lives in the dark. Nothing surprises him. You do not catch him off guard. God knew the answer long before Elijah ever questioned.
Yeah,
long before he ever asked Elijah the question. So it's obvious to note that the purpose for the question was not for God.
Yeah.
Who was it for? Elijah.
Elijah.
See, because God is asking him to let him know, hey, listen, Elijah, I need you to pay attention to something.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but I have a wife back at home. She's 5'2". If she's wearing platform shoes. And she has my heart completely. But there's some times where you men in the building can testify to this. You find yourself in the hot seat, is what I like to call it.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, what's the hot seat? Brother, that's when your wife has asked you to do something, and she comes back and asks you, hey, Donathan, did you do this? And you know good and well that she knows that you know good and well you didn't do it. And she's not asking you because she's not unsure if you did it. She knows good and well that you men did not do it. But she's asking you as kind of a reminder.
Right.
To not point at it, but to point at it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Evidently, y'all's wives are not like my wife. But up in Western North Carolina, that's how the women are.
Amen.
And my wife will sometimes find me in the hot seat, interrogating me, some would say. And so that's why in my house, we've established a little law. It's called the list is the law. Simply means this. I have short-term memory loss. I have ADHD. It's a surprising wonder that I can remember how to spell my name. So if you want me to remember something, the list is the law. And the list stays on the counter. If you write it on the list, it'll get done. But if it's on the list, you can't interrogate me for it. So the list is the law. The list is what we go by. We check down through the boxes. As long as we got on the list, we're good. And so God sometimes puts us in the hot seat.
Yeah.
You see, because God is not asking Elijah, what are you doing here? Because he don't know where Elijah got there,
right.
What path he took, or, you know, God's not questioning all that. God is asking Elijah point blank, what are you doing here? Not for him, but for Elijah.
Yeah.
Right.
To kind of, in other words, to point at something without actually pointing at something. Elijah, you're not where I called you to be.
Yeah.
I didn't call you to be the prophet of the cave. I didn't call you to be the man of God of the mountain. I called you to be the man of God to Israel. I called you to have a people and a place to serve me, not to be hiding out in the cave.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
And so when God asks, what are you doing here? It is a question not for him, but for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is a call and a question that rings out to every person in
the
building.
Right.
Amen. To every young person, to every older person, to every middle-aged person, to man, woman, boy, and girl, whether That's you're right. sitting on the front pew or the back pew, if you're sitting on the side, wherever you are, God is asking, what are you doing here? What do you mean, what am I doing here? Let's be honest. Can we tuck our halos for a second?
Come on, preacher.
How many of you believe that every person that comes to church comes for the right reason? Okay, beautiful. We've got that settled. How many of you believe that every time you walk through the door, and I'll raise my hand to this one, every time I walk through the door of Thanks to Calvary Baptist Church, I do not have my mind completely set on God?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Come on, y'all. Let's get on some real quick.
Yeah, sure.
And so God comes walking by and asking you, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
See, because different people come to church for different reasons.
Yeah.
And it's not just a Western North Carolina thing or an Eastern North Carolina thing. Every church I've ever been to has people that come to church for the applaud of man.
Sure.
People that come to church to check off their religious box.
That's right.
People that come to church to make sure no one else gets in their spot.
Come on, preacher.
People come to church to make sure old Cindy Lou isn't running her mouth.
Come on, preacher.
Come on now. People come to church for all different reasons.
Yeah.
But God's not interested in all your reasoning for why you came to church.
Right.
See, because God is asking the question here. Yeah. This isn't the president. This isn't, help us now, Joe Biden. I know, I'm sorry.
Preach.
This isn't Donald Trump. This isn't your preacher. This isn't your mama, your daddy. This isn't Justin Timberlake. This is Almighty God. This is This is Jesus asking you, what are you doing here? Say, preacher, what do you mean? Wait, we came to church. We did what we're supposed to do.
Yeah,
but let me ask you this. Did you come looking for something, or did you come just because that's what you're supposed to do?
Come on, preacher.
Amen, preacher.
You see, this isn't just anybody asking. This is God asking.
That's right.
This isn't your grandpa asking you why you're at church. This is Jesus asking you why you're at church. This isn't the preacher coming by, making sure that you're in your place, taking attendance, giving you a gold star, a chocolate cookie to make sure that you're in your spot on Sunday. But this is God stepping by, saying, I got to ask you a question. This isn't Dead Muhammad. This isn't Fat Buddha. This isn't your favorite pop star. This isn't Tiger or Giannis or Curry or Ronaldo. Jesus is asking you, why are you coming to church?
Come on, preacher.
Preacher, this is Monday of camp meeting. Why are you lashing out on us? Oh, friend, I'm not lashing out on you. I want you to take a deep inventory.
Yeah.
See, because one thing I hate worse than dead church is getting nothing from dead church.
Yeah. Right.
Come on, man.
Yep.
I love coming to church when God speaks. I love coming to church when the Spirit fills the crowd.
Yeah.
I love coming to church and getting something from church.
Right.
I ain't about coming to church just to fill a position. I ain't about coming to church just to sit on a pew.
That's
I ain't about coming to church just to make sure everybody thinks that I'm a good Christian boy. I like coming to church because that's where God feeds me. And so what are you doing here? It is all by design. God made the mountains and He carved out the rivers and He put the stars in place and the moon in space and the sun up in the sky hanging on nothing, but it never falls down. God made everything. So I promise you, if you come to church looking for something, He can make sure you find it.
Yes, ma'am.
So God is asking him. It is a question that has a divine request. God is asking.
That's right.
But it's not just a question that has a divine request. It is a question that has a direct response. See, God didn't come walking through Israel saying, has anybody seen Elijah?
Right.
God didn't come walking through and say, excuse me, ma'am, do you know where my prophet has went? That's not what happened.
Yeah.
God, if I can put it like this, God stepped right up on Elijah's front porch, knocked on the door and said, listen, buddy, why are you here? God showed up. It is a divine request, but it requires a direct response. God is asking Elijah, why are you here?
Because
if you came to church just to do your Christian thing, I've got nothing for you. Preacher.
Come on, preacher.
Now, listen, I've got an outline, but let me tell you this. If you come to church just to fill your spot, I've got nothing for you.
Right.
That's right.
And you'll find yourself in the Christian rut, coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, camp meeting, Jubilee, special Sunday, special Saturday, special days all throughout the week, And you'll find yourself coming to church over and over and over again, another congregational, another offering, another sermon, another congregational, another offering, another sermon. Oh, it broke loose. We didn't have no preaching. It's something the whole time. And for some reason, you're not getting nothing out of it.
Yeah.
Say, preacher, I feel like I'm in a rut. Well, what are you doing here?
Come on, preacher.
What's your purpose? And I'm being cautious. I'm watching the time. I promise. We're going to get out of here long before midnight. But God asks, what are you doing here? A direct response. You see, if you're coming to be seen, if you're coming just to make mom and daddy happy, if you're coming just so the preacher doesn't get upset and show up on your door on Thursday saying, why was you not at camp meeting? If you're here just to check your religious box, all those are the wrong reasons. Deuteronomy 4 says this, verse 29 says, but from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him.
Yeah.
Amen goes right there.
Yeah.
Yep. If you come looking for him, newsflash, you're going to find him.
Amen.
And so if you're here for every other reason besides to find him, you're here for the wrong reasons.
That's right.
Say, preacher, are you not happy that we're here at church? I'm thrilled that you're here at church. But if you didn't come looking for him and you just come because I'm preaching, this is not the right evangelistic thing to say. But if you come just to hear me, you're here for the wrong reasons.
Amen. That's right.
You say, preacher, what are you talking about? See, but the thing is, if you came tonight and you had God on your mind, if you came tonight and you're looking for God to bless you, and if you came tonight and it's not just because it's the religious thing to do or the Christian thing to do, or Brother Scott's going to fuss at you and smack you upside the head if you don't come, if you come for all those reasons, I got nothing for you. But if you came here because you want to see God and you want to see Him edified and you want to see Him glorified and you want God to give you something to help you on Tuesday and God to give you something to help you walk on Wednesday and you want God to give you something, I got good news from a far and distant land. He is willing. If you come seeking Him, you'll find Him.
That's right.
So he's saying, Elijah, what are you doing here? This is not where I told you to be. The good news is there's a delightful reward. If you look for him, you'll find him. Hebrews 11 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isaiah 40:10 says, behold, the Lord our God will come with a strong hand, and an arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him.
Amen.
God has a blessing. You just got to receive it.
Amen.
That's right.
See, I hear a cry from the Gospels in Matthew chapter 11. He said, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
That's right.
I'm just saying, God's got what you need. If you're trying to find it in money, it don't have it. If you're trying to find it in fame, you won't find it. But the answer is found, and the one and true and living God of heaven, He's your answer. God knows what you're dealing with. He knows you by name. He knows you by frame. He knows every hair that is on your head.
Right.
He knows the day that you was born. And you say, Brother Donathan, I don't even want to be here. I come here just because that's what you're supposed to do. Preacher had the doors open, so that's just why I came. Well, I got good news, friend. You may be here because preacher wants you to be here. Or you may be here because mom and daddy expects you to be here. You may be here for a whole bunch of different reasons. But long before you ever got here, God knew you was going to be here.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, come on now. And long before you were ever born, God knew exactly the spot, exactly the city, exactly the problem.
That's right.
Whatever's going on in your life that has not taken God by surprise, He is the God of heaven. He knows what you're dealing with.
Yep.
He knows what you're struggling with. He knows the burdens that you carried in the door. I don't know them. Preacher may not know them. Nobody else in your life may know what you're dealing with and what you're struggling with. But I promise you, the God that lives up in heaven, and nothing ever takes Him by surprise, wants you to know He knows where you're at. And He cares so much about you that without you even knowing, He put it on your schedule.
That's
so,
right.
Preacher, I'm here because Preacher Scott scheduled to meet. And no, you're here because God wanted you.
That's right. Amen.
And God knows the burdens that you carry. You may not know it, but God knows what you need.
Yeah.
And He brought me here just to let you know that He's all that matters.
Amen.
Say, Preacher, what do you mean? See, how can God be so knowing and so powerful, not just to know what I need, but have the ability to give me what I need? You see, God is not God because you decided it.
Right. It, man. That's right.
God is not Lord because we voted on it.
Come on, preacher.
God is not King of all kings because somebody died off.
Right.
God is God, and in Him, He alone is God.
Right.
He's the all-sufficient God of heaven. He's Jehovah. He's
it,
El Shaddai. He's
help me out.
He is the God of heaven, and there is nobody that's going to come before
it,
Him. Nobody will come after Him. He had
right.
no predecessor,
right.
and He'll have no successor.
It,
He's the Governor of Governors, the Prince of Princes,
it,
the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. He's the Great Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley, the Bride of the Morning Star. He's altogether lovely. He's the Great I am. He's the strength when you're strengthless. The promise when you're restless. He is the God of heaven. And He come right down to Downey's Baptist Church to let you know He's got exactly what you need.
That's right. Amen.
See, there's a delightful reward. God is everything that you need. I love Psalm 18. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust.
Yeah.
My buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy, who is worthy, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. You know what Elijah found out? That God was all he needed.
Amen.
The applause of man will fade.
Yep.
The money will drain.
Yep.
Popularity will come and go, depending on whether or not it's an election year.
Yep.
You see, whatever you're dealing with in your life, God knows. God knows what you're dealing with.
Amen.
See, I got short-term memory loss. I promise you, I will not remember everybody's name in here. Oh, that's not the right evangelistic thing to say. I'm not very good at this, Brother Jeremiah. God knows you.
Amen. Yeah.
See, there's a couple of things I want to point out about Elijah, and we'll be done. We'll go get something to eat. Somebody say amen.
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 There's an undeniable communion of the sovereign. So what do you mean? Look at me in verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before God. Can you imagine that? You use your brains for a second. God says, Elijah wants you to go up on the mountain. He gets to the mountain, and then all of a sudden the mountain that he's looking at breaks in pieces and falls. Lord, was that you? The Bible says God wasn't in the wind that broke the mountain. And then there was a great earthquake. The whole ground beneath him shook. But God wasn't in the earthquake. Then there was a fire. God wasn't in the fire. See, oftentimes we think that just because church isn't running and shouting and hooping and hollering and the preacher ain't spitting on everybody, we think that God didn't move.
Come on, preacher.
See, because God's not in the flashy stuff.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble.
Preach, preacher.
This movement that's coming along through our Baptist churches of all-star Christians.
Yeah.
All-star preachers.
Come on, preacher.
You know, people that have big flashy names, flashy lights, and everything seems to be revolving like they bring God down.
Yeah.
God help. God's not in the flashy stuff.
Right. Amen.
God will do flashy things.
Sure.
But the flashy stuff doesn't always mean that God has His stamp of approval on it.
Right.
Just because the church down the road, and I don't know where the church down the road is, 400 miles away, but just because the church down the road is growing and busting in the scene doesn't mean that God's on it.
Right.
Just because the preacher has a book scheduled does not mean that God's on it.
Right.
The flashy things do not mean that God is where He is there.
Right.
But He said the still small voice is where God began to speak to Him. I got to get to my message. The undeniable communion of the sovereign, the blowing of the wind, the breaking of the mountain, the burning of the fire. None of those was God. But the blessing of the voice. You say, what do you mean, preacher? He wanted Elijah to understand that he was the one who was watching after Elijah.
Right. Yeah.
It was not the wind or the fire or the earthquake. It was God that was watching after him. You say, what do you mean? If it was the wind, it could have just been a strange climate.
Yeah.
It could have been just, you know, whatever it is. You know, tropical storm, Debbie come by. Could be the wind. God wasn't in the wind. If it was just an earthquake, it could have just been a coincidence.
Yeah.
If it was a fire, it could have just been a freak accident.
Yeah.
Somebody left a curling iron on. We don't know. It could have been something other than God. But God likes to work in unlikely and unorthodox ways.
Yeah.
So that when everything's said and done, the fire quits and the earthquake settles and the rocks begin to settle, that nobody, nowhere, no how can get the credit except for Him.
Amen.
See, because when He spoke,
Elijah knew it was him.
Yeah.
When God spoke to Elijah, Elijah knew that there was nobody, there was no king, no prophet, no priest, nobody in Israel had a voice quite like him.
When you speak
to the brethren, things can be misunderstood.
Yep.
When you speak with family, things can be misrepresented.
Yep.
But when God speaks and you hear from the Master, it is completely, emphatically, undeniable.
Amen.
You may be sitting here looking for answers, wondering what to do, where to go. And yes, I believe in a multitude of counselors.
Sure.
But only after you have sought the high counsel of heaven.
Amen.
Oh, God, I wish God would give us some Christians in Eastern North Carolina that say, you know what? All the other voices are good. All the other voices are all right. But they do not take preeminence or precedence over the God when He speaks to me. See, the thing is, I wish some people would understand that if you miss what the boss says, sometimes that's okay. And if you miss what goes on in the stock market, that's all right. If you miss what happens on your favorite TV show, no biggie. But oh, God help us to have an ear and a mind set towards heaven that when God begins to speak, everything must stop. When God begins to utter words, everything must cease.
Yep.
You know what? If mama's talking, but God's talking, we might want to listen to God. You say, preacher, are you giving me a reason to not listen to my mom and daddy? No. See, sometimes God and mom and daddy will line up.
Right. Amen.
But here's the thing. The average Christian is too busy caught up on what the television is saying that they can't hear what God's saying.
Yeah, amen.
The average independent fundamental Baptist is so caught up on what the brethren are saying, they can't hear what God's saying.
Come on, preacher.
So many people got their face so shoved in Facebook,
They
haven't read their Bible in 6 months, but they feel like they know the will of God because the preacher from down the road said it on Facebook.
Yep.
See, when God speaks, it's undeniable.
Yep.
There have been times in my life where everyone else said I was wrong.
Yeah.
But Brother Scott, I knew good and well what God had said, and God said, you're right.
Yeah.
See, there have been times when friends have forsaken me, but God said, you're walking the right road.
Come on, preacher.
There have been times when it wasn't popular at school, but God said I was walking the right road.
Yeah.
There were times when my decisions said one thing, but God's voice said another thing. And I am so glad that in those times I decided to listen to His voice, because the things that I thought were a good idea turned out to be a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Amen, preacher.
Amen. See, because God's voice is undeniable. If you're listening to everything else, everybody else's words will change, but God remains the same.
Yeah.
Psalm 5 says this, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, and because of my enemies, make thy way straight before my face." In other words, make it undeniable what your decision is.
That's right.
So we find, first off, the undeniable communion of the sovereign. When God speaks to you, it's different. When God speaks to you, it'll change you.
Yeah.
But then we also see the unbelievable call of the saint. I've got to hurry. I'm watching the time. The unbelievable call of the saint. Elijah, I didn't call you to hide in a cave.
Yeah.
Elijah, can I use this statement? I hope it's all right. You big dummy. What are you doing here? Elijah, I called you to be over there.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of my oldest. She's 4 and full of the devil. Y'all pray for her. She needs Jesus in a bad way. Maybe a tail whooping, but I'm not sure which one she needs first. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
My daughter, Chloe, I'll go to her. I'll be like, listen, I want you to sit here. Daddy says, stay here. But the thing is, I'll go do whatever I'm supposed to do, and I'll hear a cry from a room that she was not supposed to be in.
Right.
And I'll go in there, and I'll be all consoling and everything because she's crying. But after she gets done crying, I'll ask her, Chloe, what are you doing here? I told you to be over there. See, a lot of times I feel like our Heavenly Father looks at us the same way.
Yeah.
We get ourselves a mess.
Come on, preacher.
We bring problems into our life.
Yeah.
We bring trouble into our life.
Yeah.
And then we cry out to God saying, God, fix our mess.
Yeah.
Yep.
And God's first reaction is, son, what are you doing here?
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I asked you to be over there. Wondering why we lost at the bingo table on Sunday night.
Come on, preacher.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got bingo in Wilson. Come on. What are you doing here? See, because God has asked him to do something. He had communion with God. But the call of the saint was this: I want you to go there. I have a work for you to do. It's not in the cave. It's not in the mountain. I need you to go somewhere else. And I've got a call on your life. I need you to do this. In verse number 15, you find that he says, when thou comest, and when you get to the area that I told you to go to, I want you to do something. There's provision for the call.
Yeah.
See, what do you mean provision for the call? God said, when thou comest to where I told you to go. God calls him from the mountain, tells him to go over there. There's a long track between where he's at and where he's going. And God said, when you get there. In other words, God's making a promise that you're going to safely arrive to exactly where I have called you to go.
Amen. Yeah.
You're not going to fall short on the way.
Right.
I've told you to go over there. And when you get there, then I got a call for you. But you got to follow me to get there.
Yep.
You see, there's provision for the call. God was promising Elijah, where you're going, I'll take care of you. And he's assuring the prophet that while he's traveling, I'll provide for him. And he's letting Elijah know that when I call a man to do something, I will fit the bill. God's not somebody who passes his debt off on somebody else. God is somebody up front who will let you know that he will take care of you every step of the way. You're wondering, God, I'm not sure if I can take that other step. God says, I'll provide. God, I'm not sure if I can step out and be this for you. And God says, I'll make a way. You're wondering, how God? He's saying, just take the step and I'll provide.
Amen.
There's provision for the calling, but secondly, I also want you to see this. There's proclamation for the call. He says, when you get there, I'm calling you from the mountain. I want you to go over here. I'm cutting a lot of these boxcars out, but we ain't got time for this train. And so he's calling him from the mountain and taking him over here. He says, when you get there, I want you to anoint this person king, and I want you to anoint this person king. He said, preacher, what do you mean? There's a proclamation. God provides and says, when you get from here to there, I'll make sure your traveling necessities are met every path of the way. You'll get there.
Yeah.
And when you get there, I want you to proclaim the king.
Yeah.
Say, what do you mean, preacher? His job when he get there was to proclaim. Declare the king of Syria. Declare the king of Israel. I want you to let everybody know who's the rightful king and the rightful heir to the throne. Say, preacher, what do you mean? That's exactly what your job as a Christian is to do.
Amen. That's right.
Say, preacher, what do you mean? For the record, Jesus is the rightful king.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus is the only one who is designed and necessary to sit on the throne. Somebody
right.
Say amen.
Amen.
The king of heaven has not changed. The king of heaven is not up for debate.
Right.
The king of heaven has nobody coming behind him.
Right.
The king of heaven is still God. His name is Jesus.
Yep.
And
amen.
He's still there sitting on his throne.
That's
so what's
right.
Our job? Our job simply is to declare the king.
Right. Amen.
Proclamation time. You say, what do you mean, preacher? What's proclamation? Proclamation is just a really big fancy theological word. In other words, to say, say it.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Proclamation. You say, what do you mean, preacher? That means when you go down to your job, proclaim the king.
Right.
That means when you go to the schoolhouse, proclaim the king.
Amen.
When you're at Walmart, proclaim the king. When you meet with family, proclaim the king.
Oh,
when you're with your friends, proclaim the king. When you go to church, proclaim the king.
Amen.
Let somebody know that Jesus is on the throne.
Amen.
Let somebody know that Jesus is doing all right.
Amen.
Let somebody know that the world may crumble and the world may fall and everything may go to pieces, but God is still in control.
Amen.
Amen.
Proclaim the king. Mark chapter 16 says this, and he said to them, go ye in all the world, in all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Provision for the call, proclamation for the call, production of the call. He said, when you get there, you're going to go to the mountain, you're going to go over there, you're going to proclaim the king of Syria, and proclaim the king of Israel. And once you get there, you're going to meet a little old fellow by the name of Elisha. And Elisha is the prophet to be in your room.
Yeah.
In other words, come here, Brother Hunter. He said, I've got a calling for you. I'm going to provide for you every step of the way. There's a proclamation for you. When you get there, tell everybody who the rightful king is. And then he said, there's going to be another boy. His name is Elisha. And he's going to be the one to stay in your room. In other words, Hunter, grab my shirt tail. And wherever you go, Elisha's going to be there. Elisha's going to follow you. If you go down over here to proclaim the king, let everybody know who the king of Syria is, Elisha's going to be there. If you turn around and you go back over here, you proclaim who's king in Israel, Elisha's going to be there.
Yeah.
If you go down and you're going to study for a while, Elisha's going to be there. If you're going to go back over here, we're going to do a miracle of some sort, Elisha's going to be there. No matter where you go, Elisha's following along.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to the king of Israel or the king of Syria, wherever you go, Elisha's going to follow along. There's somebody coming behind you.
Yeah.
You see, because the thing is, a lot of times we get this mindset in our Christian mind that we are the only person that God's looking for.
Right.
No. Listen, God's got somebody else coming behind
you.
A younger you that he wants you to train. He wants you to let know, okay, this is how we're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Teach them the right way. God's going to provide. Trust him. Believe him. Have faith. Believe that God is going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Number two, make sure you tell them who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Tell them where you're at Walmart, when you're in school, when you're at your job, wherever you go. If you're with family, friends, loved ones, let them know who Jesus is. Proclaim the king, because somebody's coming behind you. And as you walk and you tell them about Jesus, Elisha's watching. And as you go and as you talk, Elisha's watching.
Yeah.
And as you go to church and you're going for the right reasons, you're serving God, you're believing God, you're trusting God for provision, and Elisha's watching the whole way. Why? Because one day you're going to be dead and gone, and Elisha has to carry the mail.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. So there's going to be somebody down there in Israel. His name's Elisha. He's going to follow you everywhere you go.
Yeah.
You can sit down. Wherever you go, Elisha's going to follow.
Yeah.
You see, there's the production of a call. God didn't call you just for you. There's somebody else.
Right.
Don't think. The Bible says in the New Testament, Paul said, no man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. See, it's not just about us. God can provide for me. He can provide for the Jeremiah.
That's right.
Provide for the Scott.
Yeah.
Provide for you. Provide for your family. And not only provide for you and your family, there's somebody watching your family walk through the trouble that you're walking through. And they're seeing you trust God through all of it.
Yeah.
And then it gets them on the bandwagon. You know what? I think I can trust that God too.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
There's a production of the call. It's not just about you. So we see the unbelievable call of the saint. That God would call Elisha right after Elijah. So we see the undeniable communion of the sovereign. And I'm pert near done. Everybody understand that Western North Carolina saying? Okay. Yep. The undeniable communion of the sovereign. The unbelievable call of the saint. But I love this. The unwavering choice of the Savior. Look with me in verse number 18. And he says, yet I have left me 7,000 Israel, all the knees which have not bowed in a veil, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So what do you mean, preacher? The unwavering choice of the Savior. I heard preachers when I was growing up say this statement. God don't need me, but I need God.
Yeah.
How y'all have heard?
Amen.
Yeah.
God don't need me, but I need God. And I agree 100%.
Amen.
God does not need me. Just because Donathan came to Wilson does not mean the revival came to Wilson. Just because Donovan showed up does not mean the revival came with me.
Right.
That's right.
A man is foolish to believe that God depends and lives in his world.
Yeah.
See, as wicked as we are and as foolish as we are, foolish as the world is getting, God is not done.
Right.
That's right.
So, preacher, what do you mean? From the greeter to the preacher, we are in all desperate need of God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Right.
We need his touch, not just for preaching, not just for singing, but for everyday living.
Yeah.
We need God. God does not need me. I need him. We're in desperate need of a touch of God. But the one thing, it's one thing for me to say, God don't need me. Because he don't.
Right.
It's a whole another thing for God to say, I don't need you. See, listen. For me to say, I don't need him, that's my side. For God to say, I don't need you, that's his side. And it is true, God does not need us. God does not need me to bring revival. God does not need Brother Scott to build the church. God does not need you to fit all the bills of the church. God established the church a long time ago without me, without you.
Right.
We were part of the plan, but God don't need us to finish the plan.
Right.
Everybody follow me?
Amen.
God said to Elisha, listen, I don't need you. I got 7,000 more. I don't need you, Elijah.
Yeah.
Elisha's down there. Somebody else will train him. There's other 7,000 more. I can call one of them to be the prophet. They can go tell who the king of Syria is and the king of Israel is. They can do all that. There's somebody else. If I die tonight, God can have somebody else preaching tomorrow.
Yep. That's right.
God does not need me. But the Bible is also a two-edged sword. And I remember when I started working for the church, I'm the assistant pastor of our church, and I remember when I started working for the church, my pastor said this to me. He said, remember where you came from. God was working at thanks to Calvary before you got here. And God will be working after you leave.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
He said, I don't want you. And he said, I don't have to have you.
Right.
But I want you.
That's yeah. Right.
And so when God says, I don't need you, that's one thing. But God also looked at Elijah and said, Elijah, out of 7,001, I chose you.
Yeah.
Amen.
I about did a backflip when I was studying this. Because out of 7,001 who had not failed to Baal, God said, Elijah, I want you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Out of everybody else that God could have called,
yeah,
I chose you.
Yeah.
And I remember, I love studying stories of old preachers and revivals of days gone by. Man, what it would be like to live in the time of Charles Spurgeon. Man, the Prince of Preachers.
Yeah.
What it would be like to go on the road with D.L. Moody. What it would be like to be there as the preacher preached sinners in the hands of an angry God. Man, what it would be like to hear Brother Edwards. And I sometimes wish that I could have been born in those time frames. But then you got to realize that God didn't just call them for that time. God's called you for this time.
That's right. Amen.
In other words, when God was looking down through the eons of time, and God was watching the universe unfold, and God was watching humanity come to a close, and he said, you know what? In the darkest hours of human history, there's a select group that I won't live in, and there's a select group that I won't be in Christians at that point in time. And he didn't choose D.L. Moody.
Right. Amen.
He didn't choose Charles Spurgeon.
Right.
He didn't choose Billy Sunday or Billy Graham. He didn't choose those men to be living in the dark, depraved world that we're living in today.
Right.
But God looked down through the eons of time and he said, there's a certain people at Jeremy's Baptist Church. I know they're going to be there. I know they're going to be sitting in the pew. I know from the oldest in the back to the youngest on the side. I know everyone that's going to be in that church on that night. And I've called them. I've declared them that they're going to be the ones living in the dark time, living in the wickedness, living in the horrible mess that the world's going to be in. And I've called them to be Christians in that time. So let me tell you, friend, I didn't come to lash you out. I come to give you a little pep talk. But you know, listen, God chose you. God picked you.
That's
God
right.
said, you know what? Of all the people in history, I want them. I want them. God said, I don't have to have you, but I want you.
Yeah,
listen, that's not the president saying, hey, listen, I need your help at the White House. That's not your favorite celebrity on TV saying, hey, I want you to come be a guest star. That's the God of heaven.
Amen, preacher.
That's the God of heaven who made all the universe, who said, I want you.
Amen.
I pick you. I designed you to be a Christian in the world where everything's dark. So let me just tell you, friends, don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Lift your eyes toward heaven, because our redemption draws now. I believe that we're in the midnight hour. It's about to tick over to midnight, and God's going to call his church homes. And he said, Downey's Baptist Church, it's not for D.L. Moody's age.
Right.
It's not for Charles Spurgeon. It's not for Billy Sunday. But I've called you.
Amen.
Be a Christian in the world that we're living in.
Amen. Good preaching.
So God's called you. He said he's going to provide for it. And he'll fit the bill.
Yeah.
And he has not wavered on his choice. He's chose you.
Amen.
He's chose you to be a Christian.
Yeah.
He's chose you to be his child in today's era,
yeah.
in today's age. And so let me ask you, what are you doing here? Are you wasting his choice? Are you making good on the calling of God? Or are you playing with it? Are you making good on what God's decided for your life? Or are you saying tomorrow? Tomorrow. From the youngest in the building to the oldest in the building, God has called you to be a Christian.
That's right.
In 2024
yep.
at Downeast Baptist Church.
Yep.
So let me ask you this. When was the last time you read your Bible?
Come on, preach.
When was the last time you prayed? When was the last time you asked God to fill you with His Spirit? When was the last time you said, you know what, I'm going to cut the TV off?
Come on, preach.
The Golden Girls can wait. I need to spend time with Jesus.
Yeah.
Everything else in this world doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Have you spent more time looking on Facebook than you spent in your Bible this week?
Come on, brother.
God didn't call everyone else in days gone by.
Yeah.
To be a Christian in today's age.
That's right.
God called you.
That's right.
Good. As Brother Jeremiah's coming to the piano, I wonder, God's looking down on you. I don't know every person in the building, but I serve a God who does.
Yeah.
That's right.
And He's looking down at you saying, I want you. He's looking at Brother Scott saying, Brother Scott, I don't have to have you. I need to find somebody else to fill your shoes. I need to find somebody else to pastor down East Baptist Church. But God said, I choose you. I want you. To every person in the building, as He begins to play, God wants you. See, but God can't make you serve you. God can't make you live for you. But He's standing at an altar saying, I wish you'd give your life to me. I wish you would give everything you got to me. I wish you would quit going around with the things of this world, trying to make money and make a career for yourself and become popular and become all that the world thinks is good. Why don't you just sell out to me?
Yeah.
As we stand and we're head bowed and our eyes closed, why don't you come to this altar?